Well, the second talk this day here, the second talk with the topic of gender and how to feel and how to be and what am I and not male, not female, something in between. I assume you basically all know intersexuality, intersex people, and that it is even more difficult for intersex to fit into something like society than, for example, trans people. So Maya is, fortunately, I'm so happy. Maya is a member of Entropia. She lives in Karlsruhe, and so I can see her every day, and it's great to talk to her. And we talk a lot of intersex and her way of going through her life, managing her life, and so. And yeah, she talks about how the internet affected her being, her search in getting help and getting around in terms of intersex. So, a warm welcome to Maya.
Okay, yeah, I have to stay here because microphone. So I'm bound to this, so I can't walk around, so remember. Okay. Yeah, so enough to go back to how I want to start. Right, well, that the card says basically everything already. The introduction, pretty much everything, like, because, well, okay, I'm intersex. Tell more about it later. And the internet has been really, really important to me in, well, basically I'm here, this location and still alive because of the internet. So that's pretty big, I think. Okay. So let's get started the beginning, because everything has to start at the beginning. Because before I can tell about how important the internet is, how important how everything has happened, I first must start at the beginning, like, well, I was born and raised in the 80s. So my parents were, well, those were my parents. Of course, we didn't have the floppy drive, that's too expensive. But of the really official monitor, we just had a, well, TV works. But Winter Games, everything, I've played it so much. And of course, little tape drive, seeing those numbers spinning and having to stop at the right location. And yes, that's my childhood. So that's how I started. Then, of course, a bit later, well, you get older, you get a better system, a little bit faster. So I actually had an PS2, IBM PS2, with a Model M keyboard. It was great. So, yes. Not that monitor, I think. No, we had a cheaper one, of course, always. School. Well, that was my teacher. I really liked the teacher. Could play King's Valley on there. So, that's great. Of course, friends. Of course, I have friends. Yes. That's actually my younger brother's. He bought that one used, so, and he mostly played on it, but I played sometimes on it as well, and it was really fun. And then I bought that one. So, yeah, wasted childhood, not sure. Other friends, of course. That's my current, small part of my current library. So, but as a child, I would read lots and lots and lots. And in the at school, I remember sitting there in classroom, and we were, someone talking about how many books have you read. And then someone said, well, Maya has read like more than 300 books. I still remember everybody looking at me, so, and it was like, yeah, okay, I've read a lot of books. Is that okay? So my childhood and youth was basically like being raised by computers, video games, of course having fun with lots of people, playing a bit of soccer as well, and reading more books. And then the internet happened. It's quite amazing when suddenly all the computer systems you had, well, they can do internet. So you must have something, of course, Windows 95 with 65K modem, of course, really fancy. I remember I could be on the internet for like 1 hour a day, because you had to, of course, use dial-up, so this would cost so much per minute, else it would get too expensive. That was, internet was great. Like suddenly this, I had grown up in a little village, like 100, 200 people. So you know everybody knows you. That's basically your entire world. And suddenly, like, you've got internet. And I kind of got stuck on the, it's basically also in the time that I was learning English, because I was raised in the Netherlands, so you start learning English pretty soon because you have to survive. And the internet back then was basically everything was English. So that's how you got started. Basically great, just okay, downloading Super Nintendo ROMs and emulators and everything illegal because, hey, it's possible and cheap. But also forums, talking with people, learning to use IRC, Instant Relay Chat, suddenly talking with people around the world. I remember the first time talking to someone from the US in English. That was so exciting because that person understood me. I could talk with a person the other side of the world, live. Yeah, that was pretty amazing back then. So, but yeah. Goodbye, innocence. 2005, after my parents had a divorce, moved around the Netherlands a bit, I began to realize that something was not quite right. Just more of a feeling, like, I was at this do-it-yourself store, just walking around there with my mother, just getting some stuff there, and I suddenly noticed that I was trying to walk in a feminine manner. It was weird, because I was supposed to be a guy. I mean, I was supposed to be born as a boy, had all the requisite parts for it, and but somehow I wanted to be seen as a woman. It was weird. That night, I started thinking about it more, like, doesn't really make sense. Why would I want that people look at me as if I am a woman, but I am a guy, so doesn't make sense. That's, for about 1 week I thought I must be transsexual, because that's the only thing I know that's not strictly binary. So, okay, then I must be transsexual, okay. But thanks to the internet, I started doing a bit more research, and I stumbled over an article about intersex. And that's really changed my life, because I had not known that something like intersex existed. So because of the internet, I suddenly had a clue about what I actually was. I could investigate more, do more research, look at my body, because that's really the thing. Like, I have stared so long, so many times at mirrors. Just look at myself, look at my own image, because I had been told for years, you're a boy, you're a guy, that's where you are, that's what you look like. But then looking back, puberty. Between puberty, almost nothing happened in terms of secondary changes. Okay, I had a bit of breasts growing, that was weird, so okay, I'll ignore that. Didn't beard grow or something like that? Not really. Anything else? Masculine? Not really. My clothing fits a bit weird, so I had to go for the really tiny male sizes. Weird. But you're still a guy, so. Or not. Look, doing more investigations on Wikipedia and around the internet and stumbling over this. There are so many forms of intersex, not just like, you're intersex, period, done. No, you've got hundreds of different types, more common ones, more rare ones. And in a sense, it's kind of fun to play your own doctor, doing your own physical examinations and doing the differential diagnostics and everything, but it's also kind of annoying. But in the end, it came all down to intersex. That's the logo I created a few years ago, and I think it symbolizes pretty much the whole thing. You got extremes, and basically you're somewhere in between there, but not really a specific point. So what do you do with that? There's also support, just the internet, IRC, chat, just MSN, it still exists back then, just talking with people, video chats, regularly just communicating with people. And of course, I wasn't going to tell people about how I was different, because, well, I'd never been really clear about my gender identity or anything like that. I was just a person on the internet. And then it was basically when I found out it's in 2007, that I first got concrete evidence that I was like, okay, I still keeping it a secret. Maybe I should start telling people. So I started over just, okay, I will just write it down in a text file and type it and send it to some people who I trust, just to be able to talk about it. That's how it started. So you've got like 4-6 people. You just, okay, I want to tell you something, and you email them the file, they read it. And then they're like, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that, or hey, I'm still here for you, or doesn't change anything, and that's great. That's in having to keep it a secret, or feeling that you have to keep it a secret, even on the internet. I mean, people are like, boy, on the internet you can be anyone, anything, but you still have contacts with people. So, for example, you're in a chat group on the ESA, and you talk to the same people over and over, and of course you learn a bit about the other person, and you don't want to get too personal, because on the internet you're more interested in just staying on topic sometimes. But then you have something really personal you really want to talk about, and you're like, okay, well, it shouldn't matter. Just like, I also know people who I've met, usually of IRC, who are, for example, blind, and they just communicate just with a screen reader and everything. You have no idea until they tell you. Does it matter? Doesn't really matter. But I was still kind of stuck in this mindset of, well, I cannot tell here in real life about it, people around me, in my environment. I cannot do that because this whole coming out thing, but then intersects that, I guess, because you know you don't want to change, you just want to. Currently, I am this person. Currently, I am. This is who I am. Not that I want to change, or but just everybody was wrong about who I am as a person and physically and everything. And that's they basically took me until an American friend, with whom I did a lot of video chatting back then. She told me in a chat. Well, I was crying, just completely emotionally, just drained, broken, done. And she told me, "You can do this. You cannot do this alone. You cannot do this by yourself. We're now going to tell everybody." And she did. And then I had no choice but to do it as well. And the response was basically just amazing. Because it's often said that, well, people you meet on the internet aren't real. That's not true. People on the internet with whom you've been talking for years, they're often more real than people you know in real life. You've often known longer, you've talked more intensively about personal things and everything, and the support I got from that really helped me to just say, I'm going on, I can do this. Suddenly things are easier. That was the point when I became more open about it, just publicly, even talking about on forums and everything. And that was the reason why I got the first medical help. It's the first point. Someone told me, hey, okay, in the Netherlands it's not allowed to just pay for an MRI scan. So I had this idea, well, I think, okay, I'm intersex, I think I am a hermaphrodite. I have both male and female organs. Assumption. What do you need for that, to check that? Well, MRI scan. So, but in the Netherlands it's not legal. You cannot just pay for an MRI scan. So someone told me, hey, you can go to Germany, first in Germany, and you can just get an MRI scan there, just for whatever. As long as you can pay for it, it's fine. So I had an MRI scan made of my abdomen. I will never forget the look on the face of the radiologist when she told me, her first question to me was, were you operated on before? No. Well, here is the vagina and there you see everything and congratulations, everything is there. That was the first confirmation that I am indeed a hermaphrodite. I have both male and female genitals. Thanks to the internet, because I would never figure it out on my own without having all those resources and contacts with people who would just tell me, hey, you can go there and there's that website of a service, who just offer company which just organizes everything for that, for such an MRI scan. That is just amazing. So I did that, great. Finally confirmation. Second point, you can just order anything, hormones, because I did hormone therapy for a while until my body decided that it wasn't necessary anymore. And I just ordered it online without prescription for a couple of years. Because, well, I wasn't getting a doctor crazy enough to just prescribe me those hormones or medicine, anything, because they didn't believe that I was intersex. I had the MRI scans there, and could you please help me? No, you're just a normal boy, or you're transsexual, and I become really intimate with the transgender protocol, with those years of talking and the real-life tests, and that was not fun. That was really not fun. But because of the internet, I found a way around it, because of the people who helped me. And I got hormones, I got started on that. I had to also figure out the right dose for those hormones, because nobody wanted to help me, so I had to go online to figure out, okay, I need some in my blood, I need those values. I calculated, converted from milligrams, I think they often used to nanomole, and that was really fun, yay physics. But that all worked. And so I finally got something going with hormone therapy, just done it all myself. And things just seemed to get a little bit better. Then starting 2009, well, the media, they can really find you really well if you have an online presence, which I've noticed. So I would just, I still get these people, journalists contact me, email, Facebook, everything. Like, hey, do you want to do an interview? So I've, since 2009, I've basically done the whole thing. Yeah, including talk shows and everything, radio, television shows, newspapers, magazines. It's pretty crazy to think about. And of course, starting my own website, weblog. Weblog is also great because people have told me, well, you can just write it down. If writing down helps you, you can just write it down in a dictionary, got a word, but you can just write it down on paper or type it somewhere and store it on the hard drive of your computer and leave it there. But does that help? Because what I've noticed is that when you are really open about it, when you're really open about, okay, this is who I am, this is what's happening to me, these are my plans for the future, this is what I want to accomplish, this is what stands in my way, and then you let people read that. And then you get contacted by people. I've met so many other intersex people because of my weblog, mostly. Because I write about it, and of course it gets indexed by Google, and someone searches, and they're like, hey, blog post about, oh, those symptoms, I know that, and that sounds familiar. And then they contact you, or they start following you on Twitter, and then they contact you later, and you're like, huh, I'm not alone. Because intersex isn't really rare. It's like 4% of the population who has some type of intersex. Just about, no real proper statistics because nobody wants to research it, but something like that. There are quite a few. But meeting them, just finding out, because most intersex people are still like, just like how I was years ago. Don't want to talk about it, don't want to be open about it, don't want to let people know. So what I have done is pretty unusual. That's what I've noticed also with in the media, because they're like in the Netherlands, I was always the one intersex person in the whole entirety of the Netherlands who they could actually find and was willing to appear publicly. So, yeah, maybe I'm just weird like that, but I think being open about it is the better way to go about it. So, yeah. Also, that's interesting enough. When I did a talk show, Let's Talk Show in Netherlands, then next day, actually publisher contacted me, hey, I would like to publish your autobiography. Okay, that's big. I'm still working on that one. Takes a while. Lots of things have happened since then, so it's becoming better and better. But yes, 13 plus years meanwhile. It's been pretty crazy. Just contacting doctors everywhere and just trying to get something going, trying to get some answers, and I have received some answers, but biggest answers I've got really, well, the second point, because in 2015 I suddenly began to notice, hey, I've got a really funny little brown line there, linea nigra. That's something you're supposed to only get when you're pregnant. Okay. Or as someone told me over the internet, as a nurse in United States, it can also happen if you have too much female hormones in your system. That's how I found out that I didn't need a hormone therapy anymore, because I had a complete overdose and I was getting not just a bit PMS, but like extreme PMS. I have a normal cycle, as I've learned. And basically my body decided, hey, let's try this female thing and properly this time. So, yay. This also resulted in not so pleasant symptoms every month because, well, no doctor has deemed it necessary yet to really look at this closed-off vagina. And I have a monthly cycle, so that's not a good idea. So I'm still looking for medical help there. And I'm not really sure what's going on there. That's going to be really exciting the coming time. But we'll always have the internet. So there is still hope. If you compare that to, well, the world without internet, that's you just walking there with a condition which nobody else had, and you have no clue about what's going on there, and you just feel different, and you feel alone, and there's nobody you can talk to, and nobody understands you, and there is no help. You can go to a local doctor, but they tell you, well, you're just crazy. I've had lots of doctors tell me that I am crazy before I got medical evidence that I was not crazy, but yes. That's the kind of world which you really, really, really don't want to have. And that's basically the point of this entire talk, I guess. Like, imagining what my life would have been like right now if I did not have access to the internet. If I had not met all those people who have helped me, who have given me advice, who have been there, who have told me on many occasions, hey, I'm here for you, we can just talk about it, or I found something here, and or wait, I will contact this person for you. And suddenly, like, I've actually had one real surgery so far, that is to, because I needed to have my official gender identity changed, because, well, I look like this and I still had a male official identity. That's really confusing, because you're sitting there in a waiting room and they're asking for a sir pause. You get up, people get really confused, and you have to explain, okay, yes, it's I'm intersex and it's like that and so, and then they're like, oh, okay, and then next time you're somewhere else in the waiting room, you can do it all over again. And that for years and years. And I was really not happy with that. So I actually was able to research how you get that changed. I found a lawyer in Netherlands to actually could help me with that. I needed to prove that I was no longer fertile as a male, because that's how it used to work in Netherlands. Not anymore, I don't think. So then the conundrum from, okay, I need to, easiest way is to just have those testicles removed. But that's not allowed in the Netherlands, because you can only get, voluntarily get your testicles removed in the Netherlands if you, well, A, you have cancer, or B, you're undergoing the gender reconstructive surgery. So as a transgender person, and you've gone through those 15, 20 years of everything. So, but I found help in the in Germany, again. Just talked with a transgender friend in Germany. Was like, hey, well, you need to have your testicles removed, or my surgeon here in Hamburg can probably help me, or can help you. And he could. And he did more, did also exploratory surgery and everything. And like for 2 weeks, I had testicles were not fully developed, so I was never fertile as a male. Also cool. That explained why I had almost no testosterone. Yay. Again, that is the reality we live in with the internet. that you're able to contact people, that you talk with people. They can give you advice, help, links, references, everything. Or you could be stuck in a reality like that, where you're like, okay, well, everything is weird, I don't understand anything. Where do I go from here? And if I'm, I don't really want to think about that, to be honest. Because if you start thinking about that, that reality, then it's also easy to just realize that, well, likely I wouldn't be here on this planet anymore. So, no, I don't like that reality. I really don't like it. So, yeah, there's still a future ahead of me, fortunately. First point is really important because, well, I'm quite visible on the internet, but being intersex is something, like for example, you want to get anything done pertaining medically to your intersex condition. For the insurance, it's always marked as a transgender thing, always. Because the insurance here in Germany or in Netherlands, they don't know this intersex thing. So any procedure, any surgery that gets performed, even if I had to undergo the reconstructive surgery from my female side to reconstruct that, to open it, that would be marked and covered by insurance as a transgender surgery. So that doesn't help politics, but this intersex thing, I've done a bit of lobbying in the Netherlands. That was fun. Doesn't help. They don't care. I've talked with one politician after emailing so many. One was like, oh, we can talk about it. Just drop by sometime. We talked about it, and yeah, that was it, basically. Others were like, well, yeah, we're already doing something with that. Something. The medical help, yes, because I've got, because of the physical change to my body, I've kind of got chronic pains that's kind of annoying, so also some point, third point, well, the autobiography, I started writing on it in, well, late 2013, but then lots of stuff happened. I mean, writing about the second, yeah, so many things I could add to it. So actually, that I didn't get it written in 2014 was a good thing, because now I can write about lots more things. Or I could have written a second autobiography, of course, hey, more money. But this works too. So that's something I still have to finish. And well, I also have to work, I have to make money, I have to eat, I have to live somewhere. So that's also important. But other than that, I think I've got everything covered there. So, how do I do that? That's the question. Well, the internet is again the answer. Because actually, I recently lost my last job, but I got completely overwhelmed with messages from recruiters who are like, hey, we want you. So thanks to the internet, that's really not a problem. And I will probably be moving to the UK, because that's where they want me when that works. So, and then I have to look there for more medical help and make more contacts and just use the internet to my advantage. So that's quite a bit of uncertainty you've got there, but compared to just being there without any easy contacts, without people around you whom you can talk to, where you can ask for help, there is nothing better than having the internet that you can just, even on Twitter, just cry for help. Just like, hey, I feel terrible, that's a problem, can someone help me? And somebody responds, it's like, I can help you. Just that contact is so easy. And I think that's what gives a lot of hope for the future as well, because you know that, okay, even if things aren't great right now, because there's the internet, because you've got those millions of people out there, someone of those millions of people, they may have the solution, they may have that life that's better, they may have the answer, sometimes an easy answer, sometimes part of the answer, like the people I've met over the past. Well, there's one person who can tell me, oh, you have to go there, then you can have the MRI scan made. And that person, like, well, I've got here the surgeon, those are the big pizzas. And sometimes there's someone who just says something, and you're like, you're right. Small things. And that really, really, really helps. My autobiography. What do I expect from writing my autobiography? Because I've got my weblog. That's of course interesting, but the problem with my weblog is I've been writing on it since 2007. I've written more than 1,000 posts. Nobody in his right mind is going to read through all of them. I mean, you would be mad. I mean, I wouldn't do it. Just 1,000, 1,200 posts. I've lost count. Years ago. I just write, publish on there, and I can forget it. Autobiography is more that I can cover the entirety of my story, also the early period and everything, in a more, still autobiographic, of course, naturally, but more concise and easy to read, and just pull it all together in one work, that someone can just start it, start reading, finish it with, well, depends on how fast you read, I guess. But to make it a real coherent experience and fun. And for myself, it's helpful as well, because there's a difference still between writing a weblog. Weblog is just a diary. So you just write on it every day, or once a week, or once a month, once a year. Because you have something that you need to get off your chest. You have to write about it right now. So when I just look back on what I write about, like most of the time when you're writing a blog post, it's because you have something that you really urgently need to say, or you're just upset. Usually just upset. Something terrible happened. But to write about the whole picture, and that's something which I don't think I really covered in my blog, exactly. So, and of course, my career is also an interesting point, because, as you could see at the beginning of my presentation, I was kind of raised by computers. That also means that I learned to program. Like when I was 7 or such, because, well, that's how you talk with computers. So, yeah, I've always done that. School, never really done that. It's boring. But I'm currently, in my career, I'm a senior C++ developer. And I've never really done any kind of education thing there. I've used the internet to learn. That's another area where, if I did not have that, if I had to rely purely on the school system, no way. So, everything together, I guess that despite how things are not made easier for me, it's still because of the internet, I was able to find ways to get around obstacles, to create and hold on to a future for myself. And hopefully with my autobiography and with my weblog and everything, to also change the lives of so many other people, because it's not just about me. It's also something which you really learn when you're on the internet, okay, for most people. There are so many people out there, so many people like yourself, so many people who need the same help as you, so many people you can help just by writing something, like the impact of a blog article. Sometimes you're like, okay, well, nobody reads that. You look in the statistics, 500 people have read that, 1,000 people have read that. Oh, somewhere in Italy, an article has been published about it. Uh-huh. Has impact. Everything you do, especially when you're writing about topics like these, you have impact on the lives of so many other people. I've influenced directly the lives of people, other intersex people, by just talking with them and allowing to, or sharing my experience with them, and they could make a decision about their own life, which made them happier in the end. So that's a pretty big deal. And that's also, yeah, I want to do more of that in the future, because it's kind of fun to make people happy. I guess we've reached that point. Does anyone have any questions?
Maya, thank you so much. You do a great job for everyone else. So, are there any questions? Wow. There are no dumb questions. I promise you, there are no dumb questions. They're just stupid answers. Oh, but she's clever enough to give a good answer. So just ask right away. She is so open and she knows so much. So
wow. I don't think I've ever.
Wow, it seems you have an early off. Freedom. Okay. Yes, great.
Hello, thank you very much for your presentation. It was a really great insight. What is the current legal situation in your country since you weren't allowed to do this legally a few years ago? Has it changed in the Netherlands?
The gender change, you mean?
Yes.
I think I've heard that they've actually made it so that you don't need to prove that you're not fertile anymore as the old gender. So it's become a bit easier there. I mean, I would still have opted to just remove those useless testicles because, well, they weren't functioning and they didn't need them. So they're just annoying. So for me, it wouldn't make a difference, but I think that for a lot of non-binary people who are like, I just want to change it, they've got more options, and that's always a good thing.
So, recently there were changes to the German laws regarding the third gender. Mm-hmm. Do you know anything about it? Would you probably apply for those, or you're, I don't know how to put this, like you are not a German citizen, right? You're mm-hmm. from the Netherlands, but yeah. If you were, would those apply to you?
That's actually one of those really big questions, because I've of course changed my official gender from male to female, simply to fit my appearance and just, well, I feel more like a woman. Yay, I need, not that song again. That's a third gender. It's like, what I really want is to just stop talking about gender, because it's not that important. It's like, everything is gender, 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 even when you don't need it. Like, why do we need to have gender in a passport? Why does it matter? Why is it being registered? Why isn't something which is just when you're born, they make a note there, like 100% male or 90% male, or say IES or hermaphrodite or something else, and just leave it at that. Just register it. That's interesting statistics. Interesting also for your personal doctor. But the government shouldn't care about that, and other people shouldn't care about that. It should just be. So I'm still registered as female. Would I want to be registered as an X? No. that's just missing the point. That's just segregation. I don't want to be an X. I don't want to be male. For now, I'm perfectly fine just being called female and ma'am. Much better as sir. So, yeah.
You said that you would like to be more female. Are you also a bit sad to leave the male gender behind?
Well, in the first place, I'm human. Second place, I'm a hermaphrodite, and I want to keep it that way. So even if I do find a surgeon who wants the reconstructive surgery with opening of the vagina, creating the labia and everything, the penis would stay there because it's just, it's mine. I'm keeping it because it's useful. It's just practical. Come on. Who would not want that?
Yes, thanks again for your talk. What would you wish for in sex education, and also at which age do you think we should educate people about this? Because as seen in your talk, this has been something that has been with you for a very long time.
That's also a very good question. Because the thing is that the whole problem with intersex and sex education starts before, long before the child has even been born. Because everything is about this this binary spectrum, or binary system, I should say. Definitely system. Because even before a child is born, it's like, well, is it a boy, is it a girl? It starts with that. Which color do we pick for the room? Which clothes do we buy for the baby? Which name do we pick? Everything is gender, 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 gendered. And then a child is born and they do not conform to with their genitals to either males or females, and you're like, okay, it was confusing. We don't want to be confused. We as parents or we as doctors, we don't like being confused. We don't want to think. We just want to fix it. And those normalization surgeries, as they're called, they're a big problem. It's also a problem with the parents, because they don't know that intersex exists. They get a child with funny looking genitals, so is that a vagina? Is that a penis? I'm not sure. Is it both? Like, you see a penis and then a hole below there. That's often with hermaphrodites. I was lucky that it was not visible in my case, or I would have a scar there and something would have been removed already. That's something which, when a woman becomes pregnant, they should already know about intersex. They should be educated about it. They should know that it's nothing bad, nothing serious. When children grow up, they should not be forced into a gender realm. That's something that we, as adults, as parents, as educators, something we can already do. That's something which we have to do. It's not just, oh, we just leave it to biology classes, like then they will learn about intersex and everything will be right. That's not how it works. It has to be an integral part of society that people know, well, okay, you've got men, you got women, and you got everything else, and that's a really big spectrum with lots of different bodies, and people would not fit into those two extremes. And where do you start with that? Well, everywhere. Parents, teachers, general public, what I'm trying to do currently. And of course, well, the law that was actually there's also another law in Germany about related to third gender, namely that a baby can be born in Germany and does not immediately have to be assigned a gender. That's a positive first step, because then you take away the pressure of choosing. And why would you have to choose, okay, your baby gets born, why would you have to choose whether it must be male or female? How could you? I mean, we have transgender people. Their chromosomes do not match up with their assigned designated gender. How could you figure out for an intersex child what gender they would prefer. Why would you make them male or female? Why would you take away those organs and leave the other? So that's a really big issue, what we've got there, and it's something that has to be... something that really has to be tackled at so many levels then.
Then maybe one follow-up question. Are you annoyed that the intersex issue is, or it seems that what is talked about as first is genitals, or do you think we should talk about genitals much more in general?
I really don't think that genitals are that important. I mean, sure, if you've got a partner, then it's nice if you like, hey, you've got cool genitals, I like those. But beyond that, I don't think, like, why would your boss care about your genitals? Why would some politician care about your genitals? Why would the guy sitting next to you in your church care about your genitals? What's the relevance of that? And there's a point where I say that let people just be people. So everything else is just overcomplicating things, and things must stay simple. That's much more fun.
Thank you, Maya.